The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome, Scarlett.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, how would you like to read some of that Old Testament?
You got it. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, his father and mother shall bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious." Then all the men of this town shall stone him to death.
That felt sexy. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling like maybe we could use a little music.
That's just a snippet from SNL writer Michael Bryan's forthcoming comedy album, with Scarlett Johansson, obviously very recognizable voice, doing sexing up the Old Testament, all in good fun. It is kind of the tip of the iceberg, though, of pop culture's attempt to mock Christians and mock Christianity out of their beliefs. Why won't that work? And how should we respond if we respond at all? We're going to talk about pop culture and its attempts to mock Christianity. That's just an example. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest for the next half hour of Issues, Etc. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Scarlett Johansson, Sexing Up the Bible Won't Defeat Christianity. Hans, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you have produced dozens of satirical videos where I think it's safe to say, I think you say teaching Lutheran theology by making fun of stuff. You mock stuff all the time. How is it any different than what Michael Bryan's doing on his comedy album?
Well, yeah, I think it's sort of a twofold response to that. The first thing is the question of what is it that you're mocking? And then the second question is, what are you seeking to replace, which is kind of the heart of the article that I wrote. So in all the videos that I've done, I've obviously never in any way, shape, or form attempted to, and I certainly hope I haven't, mocked the scriptures themselves. I've certainly never mocked the doctrine of our Lord, his gospel, anything of that nature. What I have mocked is a false understanding of it, a false teaching of it. By and large, I try to steer away from even mocking individuals who may confess false doctrine. Although sometimes you have people who are so high profile that those two things are kind of inseparable. So obviously in all of my lighthearted jabs at various false doctrines and whatnot, what I've always sought to do is to certainly treat the scriptures with respect, and ultimately the goal in all of it is to replace in mocking the false doctrine is that you hold that up for scorn to show how it can't stand the light of scrutiny according to God's word. And then the hope is to ultimately replace it with something greater, namely the truth. So, for example, in videos where I have in a recent video I did that was mocking the Mormon understanding of salvation and the Mormon scriptures and their teachings concerning how mankind is saved through his own efforts. Part of the whole gist of that video was to hold that up to scorn in order to show that the greatness and the superiority of the Lutheran confession of faith and a proper understanding, in particular of the words of the Scripture and the words of Paul, and the doctrine of justification by grace alone through faith alone.
So we're really using this as an example because I don't know what Mike O'Brien's views are. He might be an extremely devout Christian. He's making a joke. He's doing things that are hard to make sound sexy, the phone book, and then he chooses these passages from the Old Testament. Well, and he you know, brings alongside the sexiest voice in Hollywood, that of Scarlett Johansson. But it is representative in some ways of kind of the pop culture attempt, and we're exposed to it all the time as Christians and social media and television, stuff like that, the pop culture attempt to mock Christianity. Your major critique is that, okay, if you're going to tell us that we're stupid to believe what we believe, what do you want us to believe? What do they offer?
Right, yeah, that's kind of the critique of the piece. I mean, I can see on the one hand how people might think this is, he's just trying to kind of take something that just you wouldn't think could possibly sound sort of alluring in this way, and that's sort of the joke with it. I think, though, there's something of quite a bit more insidious and to it, and something far more disdainful of the faith, in that I think the whole point of doing this is to take something that people cherish as holy and to make it just sound silly and stupid by kind of putting it into this sort of oversexed context. And I think generally speaking, when people will belittle the scriptures, the way that they belittle it will generally tip their hand as to what they think is the superior thing that you should believe. You know, so for example, if you read people like Richard Dawkins or Neil deGrasse Tyson, folks who have a very kind of low view of certainly of creationists, their mockery of the Bible is always very much tied into a very kind of, you know, a sort of materialistic worldview and scientific worldview, where all of this stuff is, of course, absurd and silly and impossible. And so when they mock it, they do so in a way that clearly holds up the idea that they think if you replace these Christian beliefs with a love of science and or their kind of their own version of scientism, rather, that's going to somehow benefit the world. And so I think what you have in this piece with Mike O'Brien and Scarlett Johansson is the idea that, oh, Christians have all of these hang-ups about sex. They're all these sort of prudish, sexually repressed people. And the fact that this is something that they would never want to do, the fact that they would not be comfortable with this kind of voice in any aspect of their lives, seems to be kind of what they're holding up is sort of the idea that, hey, Christians, if you let us take away your devotion to this silly book of these dumb rules that have no application in anyone's lives, you would be free to live a life of sexual pleasure that is sort of being advertised in this piece of comedy.
Now, I'm intrigued by the fact that it is often the subject of sex on which Christians are mocked. Usually the stereotype is sexually repressed, uptight,
right.
not even prudish. I mean, it's not even being pious or prudish. It's being kind of mentally disordered when it comes to sex. The Christian view of sex is somehow a sign of mental instability. Talk about
right.
that, if you would.
Yeah, this is, I think, sort of the weakness of this worldview. I think one of the things about our world today is we live in a culture of completely undisciplined people, a world where people never are told no by their parents. They never grow up hearing that. They're never required to kind of turn away from their baser urges. And so the only thing that they ever see as being a voice of conscience about that very frequently tends to be the church. So the Christian faith is the only thing they hear that tells them that if they have a sexual urge, they shouldn't follow through on it. And I think on account of that, people tend to end up believing, people who aren't Christians tend to end up believing that it's therefore good and natural and, of course, wonderful and fantastic that you should always pursue your own sexual desires, sort of, you know, as long as all parties are consenting and all of this stuff. And that therefore any voice of conscience that would draw you away from that must just be crazy. That to them, the voice of the Christian conscience, which says that sex belongs only in marriage, and that you therefore shouldn't just be giving into your urges all throughout your life prior to the point of marriage, that to them just sounds as crazy and ludicrous as kind of these regulations from the law of Moses concerning, you know, how to deal with stubborn and rebellious children that we heard read earlier.
So these attempts to mock Christianity, while they might be mildly funny, while they might be, some of them could be even legitimately funny, you're saying they are missing the mark if they're attempting to strike at the foundation.
Right, yeah. So, the whole point is, if you, in cultures that have, where there's been some sort of present sense of people trying to war against Christianity, trying to, in particular, diminish its influence, which I think is really what this kind of stuff is supposed to do. I think it's part of this this overall kind of sexual revolution part, whichever part we're on now, three or four, that really has as its goal just kind of diminish the influence that Christianity has on society, and then we will finally have arrived. I think that's kind of the mindset that drives a lot of this, and the problem is, though, is that historically speaking, if you look at the things that have been successful in an outward sense, certainly not in a true spiritual sense, since no one can snatch out of Christ's hands his elect, but in kind of a cultural sense, the movements that have been successful at diminishing the influence of Christianity, they've always had something to offer people, something that's bigger and greater than themselves. So while all people certainly have sexual desires, and while all people are inclined to follow their sinful sexual desires, the reality is that to replace institutions, at least externally like Christianity, you need to replace them with other institutions, things that are bigger than you, greater than you, something that's beyond your own life. So you're able to do this with other religions. You're able to do this by turning the state into a religion and by turning the state into God. You can certainly see that where you're able to draw people into the idea that there's something bigger and greater than themselves, and that doesn't leave them with this kind of nagging sense of regret and emptiness. And that's the problem with a thing like this, is that if you're saying to people, look, you should throw away Christianity and should no longer have any influence on our society, because, and what we'll give you in exchange is that you just get to follow the desires of your own flesh. Well, the reality is that everyone knows people who do that. We know what an utterly empty and meaningless existence that is. I mean, for a lot of people, may have a great amount of fun engaging in sexual immorality in the days of their youth, but the reality is, anyone who's ever met, a 40-year-old woman, I think I may have mentioned this, kind of alluded to this in the article, if you've ever met a 40-year-old man or woman who's still living that kind of sexually reckless life that sort of typifies for many people kind of the college experience, they're not happy people. And we know that, and we know that this doesn't bring a sense of lasting happiness, and it certainly doesn't give any sense of a transcendent belonging to it, to something that's bigger and greater than yourself type of thing that's necessary if you want to have a kind of cultural takeover of the influence of Christianity.
We're talking about pop culture attempts to mock Christianity. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. He is senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Scarlett Johansson, Sexing Up the Bible Won't Defeat Christianity. You can read it on the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, if you really want to strike at the heart of Christianity, we got some suggestions for you on the other side of the break. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zultz, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
We've got a new Issues Etc. book of the month for November. It's called The Choir Immortal. It is actually a novel. We don't do this very often. Katie Schuerman, a regular guest on the program, the second in a series of novels that she has written. And I could sit here and wax kind of spontaneous about it. This is what I wrote after reading the book for her. I said something about Katie Schuerman's The Choir Immortal is very familiar. Anyone who's spent time in the rhythm of a Lutheran parish, a rhythm of sin and forgiveness, heartbreak and comfort, loss and enduring love, will find The Choir Immortal a familiar home. It is real sinners in need of a real Jesus, bearing one another's burdens as Christ bore them all on the cross. As a pastor 15 years out of the full-time parish ministry, it made me long to return. And that's saying something. That's what I had to say about Katie Schuerman's new novel, The Choir Immortal, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Choir Immortal, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Hans, if someone wants to, either by mocking or by, you know, argument, really strike at the heart of Christianity, how would they go about it?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose it, all of this, all the mockery ever really ends up doing is it really just ends up showing what it is that people believe in their own hearts. So, you know, obviously, the if you want to really kind of get to the heart of mocking the Christian faith, it's Christ and His atoning sacrifice that you would want to mock. I mean, anyone can look at sort of Old Testament regulations, not understanding where they came from, not really understanding what their point is, and it just looks weird and silly. And so it's a very easy target for mockery of this nature. But really, what all this gets to is ultimately, I think, for people, and certainly St. Paul talks about this, that the great stumbling block of the Christian faith is the forgiveness of Christ, is his death and resurrection for the sins of the world. So that's really what it is. If you want to mock what Christians believe, you ought to just have the guts to go for that. But ultimately, all that really ends up revealing on behalf of the one who's mocking is a lack of trust in the gospel and a wounded conscience that just simply doesn't want to believe or can't believe that God could possibly forgive him.
Now, at the end of your Federalist piece, you say, look, mock away, but do your best. But in the end, it isn't going to work. Why can you say that?
Well, because we know what Christ has promised. We know that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against his church. We know that his elect are going to be preserved. We certainly understand from the scriptures teach that there are going to be many people who will not endure persecution. There's going to be seed that's sown upon the rocky soil, and there's going to be seed that's sown among the thorns where the cares of this life choke it. But yet, in the end, we recognize that God's will is always done. We recognize that his promise to preserve his faithful and to not let anyone snatch them out of his hand still remains.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe the reintroducing a sense of humor into Christianity with kind of both in the positive and the negative sense. When we encounter this kind of mockery, I sometimes think the absolute best thing to do is just to laugh it off. What do you think?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, we always want people to understand that that we do hold the scriptures sacred, and that this is not something that faithful Christians should laugh with. I mean, it's certainly something we can laugh at, in the sense that you just sort of look at it and you say, is that really the best you can do? I mean, this is kind of what I was talking about in the article, is just, all right, look, you know, I would certainly prefer that everyone in the world would believe in Jesus. If you're not going to believe in Jesus, and if you're going to mock the Christian faith, if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare against Christ and his church, which would certainly include me, at least make it interesting. Put up some kind of an effort that's worth sort of responding to. But this kind of juvenile approach to things is just silly. So it's no threat at all. So I think in one sense, as Christians, we look at this stuff and we can certainly laugh it off in the sense of, like, really, is that the best you've got? Is that really the best you can do? And I think that's certainly one way to respond that comes out of a faith and trust in our Lord's mercy and salvation and in his ultimate victory over the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh.
So in that vein, and finally here, Hans, you use humor to teach the faith and a lot of satire and mockery, as you said at the beginning, of false teaching, misunderstandings about Christianity, non-Christian beliefs. What can you tell us about Lutheran Satire and Lutheran Satire's new website?
Yeah, I just got that launched, LutheranSatire.org, with the tremendous help of Josh McNary of WordSites.org and a handful of other people who were just remarkably helpful in all of that. Really, everything I try to do is intended to teach the faith. There's an occasional video I'll throw out there that really has no purpose other than just to be silly. But for the most part, everything I do is intended to hold an idea up for scrutiny and try to kind of dissect it in a humorous way. And usually the humor is intended to sort of show that there's no animosity held towards people who believe and confess this, but just simply that I want them to know what's true and to understand the true teachings of the scriptures. And I find that humor oftentimes allows you to get a little bit closer to things and to pick them apart in a certain way that people might not have viewed them that way before. And so that's really kind of everything that I try and do with that, is just use humor as kind of a scalpel to sort of dissect things in order that we can get to the truth underneath.
You will find a link to Lutheran Satire at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Scarlett Johansson, Sexing Up the Bible Won't Defeat Christianity. Hans, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's part two of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. We will discuss Luther himself and the state of the church immediately before the Reformation. Dr. Ken Sherb will be our guest. We'll also be doing our series Christ in the Old Testament. We'll discuss Daniel chapter 12, the time of the end. It's just a short little few verses about the end of the world with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We could learn to laugh at ourselves, never to mock Christ, never to mock the Christian faith, never to mock fellow Christians. False teaching, we ought to ridicule because it's ridiculous, and warn people away because it's dangerous. It kills people. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Christ is the one who has borne all your anxieties, has taken them into his person, every worry, and he crucified it once and for all.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.